You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report. And our guest on this hour is Suleiman Usman Sari from Nigeria. Suleiman, it's good to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you very much.
And
hello, folks.
And the way we start the show is we ask just a big question. The show is about modeling how we get to know each other across differences. And you're a traveler from Nigeria, living here in Ithaca for a brief time. So tell us, who are you? What do we need to know to start the conversation?
Yes, like you have said earlier, my name is Suleiman Usman Saudi. I'm a Nigerian and a Fulani by tribe, even in Nigeria. Even though I speak Hausa language better than the Fulani language, I am an agricultural extension personnel, a science communicator who communicates modern technologies to the farmers. I work with the Ahmadu Bello University in an agricultural extension institute called the National Agricultural Extension and Research Liaison Services, which is the only extension and liaison services institution at the south of the Sahara. Yes, its mandate, along others, is to conduct research into extension methods and methodologies and package relevant and proven innovations to the end users, that the farmers, the policy makers, the manufacturers, the traders, and whoever is involved in agricultural enterprise in the nation.
So you're not only doing the extension work, you're studying what methods seem to work the best.
Come again?
You're not only doing the extension work with the farmers, you're also thinking about what methods to do it, how to do it the best way.
Yes, you see, the farmers, there are a number of ways, methods and approaches to extension. That is the TMB system, that is training and visit. You train the farmers, train the trainer first of all. Then you also, who eventually go and train the farmers. Then you also visit them in their homes, on their farms, even in the kitchens, in the marketplaces.
Build relationships with them.
Yes, we build relationship with the grassroots farmers. And they rely on the NERLS. We call it the NERLS, the acronym, popularly known, NERLS in Nigeria. If you say NERLS, it's known. That liaises with the farmers and has a very good relationship with them, such that they will continue having relevant information. In fact, it is the farmer's home, and we call it a bank of agricultural information.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. So you, the way we do this show is we also play music.
Yes.
So what piece of music should we start with?
Well, we have a number of musics like in agriculture, like the farming music, but you can start with the Sanida Indo. He's a northerner, a farmer, and worked much on some good music for the for his clients, the Nigerian farmers. And
here we go.
Like in dunia kana galadima kalwai kai kai isa kai kai kace ai wannan aiki hudu mai bari kyauta gida a cikin kwanan nan yan Allah ya yarda ana magana mijin sarayya angon hadiza zakin dunia uba dan ladi kuma kana dan ladi hudu kowa ya bi haka Allah ya ga dama da alfarin.
Nace a hankali kai mai buga fata bari sani yi jawabi. Yes, I'm a take it a Hadiza, I'm a yawn, no Hadiza. Sannan cikin Kano mamman an san ku a hura suna da jawabi balele kasko dai ne na mai sikeli sai Allah na ga Hadiza amarya godo yo Hadiza a yo Hadiza amarya godo yo Hadiza dalle daudan auren da yakyau gabar da yamma dan san zauna arewacin kowa ya zauna nan kudin kowa ya zanna Sulana, Madam May Kanupan Allah, Allah ya tare da tiyo ba da Hadiza amarya godo yo Hadiza sai na ga Hadiza amarya godo yo Hadiza ashe kowa da wuri ne kai ma na ga na Hadiza haba ina so dai ya kuwa Allah kuma ina so dai ya kuwa Allah kace mana mai taba waka dan alƙawari ya tashi ai idan Allah ya kai mu ga gida nan zan baka dan ta Hadiza amarya godo yo Hadiza a yo Hadiza amarya godo yo Hadiza ai kowa da wuri ne ku annamu yo Hadiza haba ai kowa da zama ne ku annamu yo Hadiza yo Hadiza amarya
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and our guest on this hour of the Made of Clay Report is Suleiman Usman Sare. So Suleiman, tell me about, you know, you grew up in a rural agricultural area in Nigeria.
Yes.
In the north?
I grew up, I was born of a farming family. And when I started around the age of 6, 7, started following my father to the farm.
Mm-hmm. Who so has you helped been, out on the farm at 6 or 7?
Yes, yeah. Yes, successfully, yeah. Yes. And he grows a lot of farm produce for the family. And he also buys and sells some produce.
Mm-hmm.
As a licensed buying agent in granite cotton.
Sure.
When I grew up, I saw him purchasing, doing this thing in that area. So I follow him to the farm along. Sometimes on his, he will be on his horse, and I will be on the donkey.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And sometimes we move. We trek to the farm because it's just a nearby farm. Even though after the farm operation, sometimes he goes around also to see some other farms because he has a number of, you know, the fragment holdings. In Africa, most of the farmers are pheasants and they practice, they have a very few acres of land for them to.
Right.
That's right. Even though they feed the nation because it is their food that goes to the market.
Right.
That of the mechanized farmers, that the large scale farmers, doesn't even come to the market. It goes to the industry directly.
Right.
Whereas that the small scale farmers cultivate goes to the market, sells off, and then it goes to the individual houses.
Right, and because so the kind of produce that the small farmers
yes.
are producing is more for vegetables and direct consumption.
That's right.
Produce,
yes.
And not so much the stuff that would be processed.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
So I was opportunity to be enrolled in the primary school.
Uh-huh.
In the early 1964, on January 1964. In fact, when I was taken, they used a traditional method of determining who attains the age. Uh-huh. They will ask you to put your hand on the head, whether you could be able to touch the other ear uh-huh. on the uh-huh. other side. Uh-huh. Which they made, according to the narration, I could not even recoil. But they said, when my something was measured, my hand could not reach that place. But then they said I loved going to the school very much. So my father said, okay, let them just try me right. to the farm. And I was successful. I finished the primary school, got admission to the secondary school, after which I immediately joined the College of Agriculture in the uh-huh. Ahmad Bello University, Zaria. Yes. I graduated first with a diploma in agriculture. Mm-hmm. Then I was enrolled to work. Because why I took that profession is for me to help my father first of all, and then assist him in the practice of the farming and with modern technologies, and also to eventually assist the whole country. Then I was put into extension, which dealing with farmers, advising them, timely advices on how to where to plant, mm-hmm. how to plant, what correct seed variety to plant, and spacing wise, quantity of fertilizer, the amount of fertilizer they should apply, and then the nature of region, the cultivation itself.
Right.
All this comprises of extension activities. Then I get feedback from the farmers, then take it back to the office, which is eventually transmitted back to the research.
Mm-hmm.
Where necessary, then that's how we kept on going. Then later, after about four years, I went for a diploma in agriculture as well. Mm-hmm. Agriculture, general agriculture, which is extension. We call it extension that time.
This time you were in your mid-20s?
Yes, I was in the mid-20s. I started, I think, around the age 16 or 17
right.
To the school. When I graduated, I was 18 or 19, mm-hmm. 19 years.
And that's like an early, say like what we would call not quite college, but high school.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a middle class. They train the middle level manpower in the country for such a purpose.
And what years were those? Was that in the 1970s?
That was 1976 to 1977.
Uh-huh.
Yes, with the first diploma. Then the second diploma was in 1981/1982. I graduated there.
And did your father have a lot of small farms, or did he? Did he have just one? How did he see this as an opportunity to encourage you in?
Yes, my father has a farm land, mm-hmm. Even though he has left, and we stayed with him for over 50 years because he died at the age of around 91.
At the age of 91.
Yes.
Relatively.
So
recently.
We enjoyed all the heritage, the legacy that he would give for us, and he left a very large farmland for us,
uh-huh.
Which was shared among his children,
right.
Which I also enjoyed my own. And then I have my own personal farms and uh-huh. some animals that I rear in the house, which I train my children as well.
Sure.
In fact, right when I was came here, they were at the verge of harvesting peas. That's groundnuts. We call it granites in Africa.
Yes,
they were harvesting the one I cultivated for my animals, purposely for the fodder.
Right.
Yes, not for the nuts, but for the fodder, because the breed has a very high leafy potential. So I tried it, and it was successful. Even though they only sent the pictures, clips of the forage, but I will definitely see, and they said it is promising.
Right.
So you see, at this age, that's how I also train my children. Mm-hmm. In fact, and even my wife is been maintaining a very large flock of chicken.
Yeah.
Yes, chicken, broilers and layers. Broilers and layers. In fact, even as at today, she was telling me that she had to go and buy some other consignment of chicks.
Of pullets.
Yes, yeah, pullets. Against the period of maybe you have December 25th, Christmas.
So now they'll be
they are spacing. Yes, that's right. So that she will sail along against that period. You know, that is how. But that's the part of the technologies we teach the farmers.
Yeah.
Okay, when you are planting or investing into poultry or other animal species, you have to plan for what. You have to get a market outlet.
You have to plan for the market.
That's right.
Right, right. Yes. What's so fascinating to me is you're talking about serving as as an extension worker and bringing techniques,
new techniques
into the people you work with.
Yes.
But also actually being a farmer.
Yes, I have to.
And
see, funny enough, you see, my profession showed that farmers look at me as also the farm myself.
As one of them, yeah.
Once I plant something on my little farm, they will be copying without even asking me.
Right. As I grew up on a farm in Missouri.
That's right.
And it was we raised everything we ate.
Good.
And we lived in a very
good,
relatively poor, but my father was one of the persons that the extension workers
would work with
because he was an early adopter of certain things.
That's right.
And they would, and by his doing it and demonstrating them, then other farmers
would copy from him. That's right.
Who weren't necessarily the most technologically, they didn't invest a lot of capital, but they wanted to be good farmers.
Certainly. That's the extension activity.
Yeah.
So that is why whoever is in extension has to be very careful in planting what and the time, because farmers will keep on asking him.
Right.
Sometimes they don't even ask. They will only come around you and see what you are doing. They will copy.
They'll watch.
Certainly. Yeah. They watch you very well, study your distance, then they will go and immediately implement on their farms without even asking you.
Right.
Yes.
That is how we have transmitted knowledge culturally for millennia.
That's right.
It's not something that you buy.
It's not something
somebody.
You buy from somewhere. Yes,
that you're
it's something
told
that
you
yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Learning by experience. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So you see, and after a while, after in the course of that, then the Ahmadu Bello University, which is also the largest university south of the Sahara in Africa. They advertised for somebody who has the command of my language, the language I speak.
Right.
That who will be participating in the agricultural shows and exhibitions in the institute, because as an extension institute, they diversify in the area of taking technologies to the farmers. Sometimes they use both radio, television, trainings, conferences, print materials like journals, leaflets, guides, and other posters and charts for dissemination. So they said I should, if they advertise for somebody who will join them to be taking the materials for exhibition.
Yes.
Because the then Northern Nigeria speaks Hausa largely. All the Northern Nigerian states.
It's all Hausa speaking.
Hausa is their common language.
Yeah, yeah.
So who has the command of language? So I was lucky to be employed.
Mm-hmm.
And I could recall the then director, after my interview, he said, your voice could be good for radio. That's what he said.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. And funny enough, after I resumed, just some months, then they started, extension, they will be interacting with some the subject matter specialist, the extension workers. In the course of the radio program, they tried my something in the absence of somebody who was to narrate a story about cotton close season, how cotton close season is performed. So I gave them a bit because I knew the practice. I grew cotton personally. I know it in the field and how it practices, and also theoretically. So it's just a matter of advising farmers, when do they start cutting off the cotton stands?
Right.
After this, to avoid transmitted diseases and of pests.
Right.
So I just gave a short talk on it. Then they said, oh, fine. So you could speak very well on radio.
Mm-hmm.
That is,
mm-hmm.
So that's why they said, okay, I should move also to add to my primary assignment.
Right.
That I should add to radio. I should add the radio production.
Right. So, So you were...
Though I was then put along with the radio crew.
Right.
That's how I started. Another year also, then as they said, okay, I should also join the television crew.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's but now I've been producing radio and television packages for the first 28 years.
For the past 28 years?
Yes.
Wow.
In that very instant.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So from there, and then I started going to short-term and long-term trainings on journalism, mass communication, short-term and long-term, various trainings.
That's wonderful. So you've been involved in what we would call public education on the radio.
Yes.
And television.
That's right,
and,
yes.
And what public television, public radio, community radio.
Yes.
This is community radio because yes. It's all volunteer.
Yes, exactly.
Produced.
That's what I learned, yes.
And I am in awe of your experience. I've spent all of 3 years on the radio and just 2 hours a week.
Good.
with a minimal amount of training. But the effort is to get people to know each other. So
yes.
You came to radio as a way to further your mission of extension work.
Yes, that's right. That's how I came to radio.
Are you always providing information, or are you interviewing people, farmers, or what are your radio shows like?
You see, radio and television production is an art.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to take the information to the farmers.
Sure.
Or to the people. So sometimes it depends on the format. We operate different formats. We produce documentaries, one-on-one, the straight talks. We have straight talks as well. We have interviews, we have dialogues, we have jungles, we have documentaries also. So sometimes we interview a subject matter specialist, either invite him to the studio, or you follow him to his office or to his research farm,
mm-hmm.
wherever he feels we should meet him.
Right.
And we produce magazine programs, such that there will be so many things in the content so that the farmers will have a variety in the content. Some may be interested in livestock, some may be interested in marketing, some may be interested in another aspect of the agricultural enterprise. That's why we chose to be producing under the format of magazine production.
Yes.
So, you see, and at times we go out to the policy makers. What the government's policy in respect of maybe fertilizer sales and distribution, procurement and distribution, then what the government policy in area of the seeds multiplication and disbursement to the farmers. Then what's, sometimes we go to financiers, the banks, the other investment houses, what are their policies to the farmers so that we can take the information back to the farmers for them to be kept aware of where to go and get their inputs and other necessary logistics.
Right. Investments and info.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Let's cut to music. What song should we play next?
As you can.
We have the Samara and the Tamade. And
okay, we'll put any of them.
Okay.
Yes.
So we'll play the Samari Hausa song.
Okay, good.
Good.
My tassa,
Somebody.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report. And our guest on this hour is Suleiman Usman Sari. So, Suleiman.
Yes.
You have been in extension work for 40 years.
Almost,
you've,
yes.
You've had you've farmed, you've done radio and television, and you've raised six children or so, seven,
yes.
Or however many. How have your children, have they wanted to become more professional, or have they been more interested in going more fully into farming? What are their life?
Well,
plans?
My children have been brought up like I was brought up, mm-hmm. that they follow me to the farm.
Sure.
They learn from me. And some of them even have chosen to be agriculturists.
Uh-huh.
Yes, like one of them has also gone to the agricultural college, a lady who studied home economics and management, which is in agriculture, in agricultural, the college I studied.
Yes.
Yes, she just graduated 2 years back. So they also have their own different professions.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of them has chosen to be a marketer, an oil marketer, and another has chosen to be a sociologist,
uh-huh.
two of them, in fact. Then one of them is a nursing sister.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the nursing school and studied nursing, and she is now practicing. And then the other one is a psychologist. I mean, yes, he's in education.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yes. So, and then their youngest one also has decided to also be a sociologist. He's in part two in the university.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So they have chosen to be in the both, and they are very good. Very, very good.
Uh-huh.
Because I can remember some of them, I don't have to even tell them go to the farm.
Right.
They know the routine. They will be there. They always ask, what shall we put in terms of input? So that, in fact, some of them, they would even hire farms on their own to cultivate for their own purpose. All the,
right.
Yes.
Right. So, and so they have the capital to do that.
Yeah, the capital is not...
the knowledge.
The knowledge.
Yeah.
The capital is something that, because some of them also get a little work in the university to mm-hmm. get some of their distinct. They are almost independent of me. They are only the very few. There are small civilians that I also maintain in the house, but the bigger ones have taken their own distance.
Right.
So they earn from the university where they work, and then they also practice to enrich themselves with the farming enterprise. Mm-hmm. They all chose to also be in the farming. Something. Along that also, one of them, the sociologist, also went school acquisition school. Where he learned to be an electrician.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he installs electrical appliances and wirings in the,
yeah.
Yes, which is very good.
Right.
And another one also chose to be a masonry work.
Right, right.
So I think I don't have problem thank God that they are okay.
Yes,
yes,
yes. And is that fairly typical of a family of your particular cultural and economic background to have children that have that many different life directions?
Yes, actually, that is what used to be in our own community.
Uh-huh.
You may hardly see them all in the same direction.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have been taught to diversify.
Right, right.
So that this one will touch the different experiences. And then if you are good in this area, your brother is good in that area, you will come up with some goods.
Yes, and you can back each other up.
That's right.
You can
give a backup for each other. But if you rely on, like, the oil marketer, for instance.
Right.
Oil is, the marketing is becoming so much not promising now in the country. So, you see, he is now gearing up to change to another profession, isn't it? Yes.
Right. I grew up in a rural area where we kind of would joke about the fact that among our siblings, we covered most major categories of professions, especially
yes.
if you added the spouses.
That's right, yes.
And that's with the seven of us or 14 all told.
Yes.
But it was that was kind of a, we said it kind of as a joke.
Yes.
But for our grandparents' generation, where there were 10 kids per family,
yes,
and they were growing up in the early 1900s, they needed that diversity.
That's right.
In order to reinforce.
That's right. They
their
have
economic
to. They have
well-being.
To really diversify. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And we don't think so much about that, in part That's because
right.
we have fewer
yes.
children.
Yes.
So what brought you to the United States?
Yes, I came to the United States as a visitor to the Cornell University.
Mm-hmm.
Under the program, the Global Alliance for Science, mm-hmm. a global leadership training under the Alliance for Science.
Mm-hmm.
This is a program aimed at having some volunteers who will participate actively in taking the knowledge, the science, transmitting the science information to the farmers.
Uh-huh.
As it affects this controversial issue of biotechnology.
Right.
So we'll be here for the first 11 weeks. In fact, winding up by next week.
So you're finishing up. You're only here for, it's a 12-week program.
Yes, wow. Almost, yes. Yeah.
And what have you learned here?
We have learned a lot. Personally, I felt I wish I had come here 20 years back.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because the skills I've learned in information, communication, leadership training, rigorous activities, strategic planning.
Right.
I wish I had learned them back so that my community would have gained much from me as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are many. Leadership training, how to plan for your distinct campaign strategy. If you have a new innovation that you want to push some campaigns. In fact, I can recall very important something they used to hammer about is the 270 strategies, which they used during the Obama campaign.
Right.
That they had to capture this and that. So it's part of our syllabus that we should have strategies, we should strategize.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a campaign and you have some opposition, you know, you have to identify your weaknesses, your strengths, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then your opportunities.
Right.
So we studied this one along with our distance so that we also go back to form a cohort of people who can communicate science,
mm-hmm.
truly science, not just a myth.
Not just what?
Not myth. Yes, you know, sometimes people will only use a political statement to destroy scientific innovation, which is not the best. Science is a lively affair. A politician can say something today and deny it tomorrow.
Right.
That's not the work of science.
Right, right. The biggest issue with science is that the most accurate observations are often the most narrowest.
That's
and
right.
have the least...
Functional, that's
use.
Right, yes.
And so many, and people sometimes believe in science almost in the way they believe in religion.
Yes.
And it's not the same thing.
It's not the same at all, yes.
Of discernment.
Yes.
And criticism and constant
That's right,
questioning,
that's right, good.
Which actually mature religious practice is a process of constant questioning too.
Good.
And self-reflection.
That's right.
And we often don't make
Which you cannot question.
Pardon?
It's a divine message that you cannot say why. That's the religion, I mean.
Well, I don't know to what your religious background is, but within certain religions, you can't question why.
Okay.
But within other religions, it's expected that you ask
yes.
why. And it isn't because you are questioning the nature of reality or of God,
yes.
it's because you're questioning yourself and your own capacity
yes.
to understand.
Yes, yes.
So the questioning isn't about an authority challenge,
yes,
it's a question
right.
of,
yes.
of a knowledge challenge.
Yes, yes.
And we oftentimes in the West
yes.
don't remember that.
Yes, it is true. No, the question, I mean, is not, I mean, you don't fault religion.
You don't what?
Fault. You
fault
don't fault religion. Religions.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can only ask, why should I do so, or how shall I do this? Isn't it? Then you need clarification. You have to definitely ask. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you go back, will you go back to the same job that you had?
Yes. I still go back to, because this is a package, a new package, especially in the area of communication. I've learned a lot that I wish I will definitely share with my colleagues when I go back to the university in Nigeria.
Right.
Definitely.
Now, since this is a community radio, I want to ask you a little bit, how does radio particularly, what kind of a role does it play in the life of the average Nigerian in the area where you serve?
It is very interesting for you to know that almost every Nigerian from the age of 16, I think, has a cell phone.
Right.
And by our tradition, farmers in Nigeria are very much used, so conversant with radio. You cannot separate a typical Nigerian farmer from a radio.
Right.
In fact, the cattle rearers use their radio along. They even, when the radio doesn't have jacket, they sew jacket for the radios. Right. They hang them by their shoulders, going along hearing all the news and innovations.
Wow.
That's particularly the Fulani cattle herdsmen. They go about, it is known in our social science research, and it is practically there. And the typical farmer will carry his small transistor radio to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Put it at a side closer to him where he walks, listening to almost everything of his interest.
So it becomes the soundtrack of his work.
That's right. So definitely, that is why my institution, the NARLS, chose radio to be one of its best outreach channels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our past directors have conducted research into the power of radio in information dissemination. So it's incomparable. You know, radio, you can transmit easily and widely.
Right.
It reaches very far audience, very vast audience within a moment. Unlike television, which many people have to have electricity in their houses before. But this one, you only need 2 cell batteries that you power the radio and get your music. So radio is very powerful, and that is why we use radio in transmitting most of our technical, most of our technology transfer information to the farmers in Nigeria.
What is the attitude or the tone with which you make that information available? Are you like an expert, or are you just, are you telling people about these things so that they can kind of, like you were saying, the farmers sometimes just watch what you do and they copy it? You know, so when you set up the information so that you can be kind of overheard and then copied, that's a different kind of presentation than when you tell them this is how you ought to do it.
You see, I'm lucky enough to have the dual profession, an agriculturist and a communication expert. So I use the agricultural knowledge. It's easier for me to generate, to gather information from a scientist, refine it, since I know most of the agriculture, some of the agriculture, I refine it to suit the radio transmission arena, isn't it?
Sure.
So that is why I told you, sometimes when I visit some areas, because of the television where people, farmers used to see me on the television, if I enter some markets, different town from them where I even reside, they say, this is Dr. This. Sometimes they say, this is the person, telling us about rabbits. Then some other farmers will say, oh, this is the radio television worker. Some say, this is the person giving us this information on the. So they give me different names. Some will say Likita. Likita means a bet doctor. Because of the information I give them on the maintenance of animals, healthcare, management, everything on the animals. Because the information, how we gather the information is such that we can go to the library. You see?
Yeah.
We can also approach the subject matter specialist. We can also contact the farmers on their farms. We can go to the market. So who is in this profession for such a long period? It's enough for him to gather much information, unless something, a new technology that is coming. So that is why whenever I speak on the radio in terms of agricultural innovation, people feel that I am the mastermind of the technology.
Right, and you are the voice.
I'm the voice.
I would imagine that they will have never seen you, they hear your voice and they know that's who it is.
That's right.
Yeah, that's in oral traditions, cultures that are more oral than
the visual,
then you really recognize those things right off.
And you see, when I go to the farm to identify or to diagnose some other things. I have the little knowledge I have on agricultural production techniques and rudiments assist me, helps me a lot in packaging my innovation, I mean information, how to take it to the farmers. Because I can easily identify a leaf disease or an insect pest.
Right.
Or some physiological disturbances on crops and or even the animals.
Right.
I can identify that, yes, this animal might, the high condition, its condition suggests that it has some worms.
Yes.
It may need deworming, isn't it?
Right.
So, but then I have to all the same relate it, I mean, narrate the story to the experts so that I can give a fairly accurate information to the client.
Yes.
Yes.
That's great. That's great. I'm going to pass you the device. So what music are we going to listen to next?
Yes, I think we can be able to use the one we use as my signature tune on one of our signature tune farms in Zaria.
On your own radio show.
Yes, our own radio, yes.
Yes. So here we have music from the Nigerian radio show of Suleiman's extension work. WRI Watkins Glen Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report. And our guest on this hour is Suleiman Usman Sauri. So Suleiman,
yes.
One of the things that I was wondering, and one of the reasons that we do this show is to talk with people about the kinds of things they do, and particularly to manage their attitude, you know, their approach.
Yes.
So like, what do you do to take care of making sure that your mind is strong, your intellect is strong, your heart and your emotional relationships are honest and engaged, and that your body is strong and you're engaged with the world in a healthy way?
Yes.
And in religious ways, those are kind of, what are your spiritual practices? But in more practical, non-religious ways, it's how do you take care of yourself, and when do you know you need to do that? And that may be an odd question coming from a person coming out of a more traditional culture, but you're not, I mean, I learned these practices from men from a traditional culture.
Yes.
So what do you
actually
do to take care of yourself?
You see, the first aspect, the first and foremost important aspect in human endeavor is sincerity.
Is sincerity, yes.
Yes. And then you should develop confidence in yourself.
Yep.
Whatever you do and whatever you are, wherever you are.
And how does one develop confidence in oneself?
That's right. You see, if, like, I have the knowledge of communication, for instance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have to be confident in what I'm telling the people to understand in terms of anything to enhance their livelihood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The confidence I have is I have an authentic source of the information.
Mm-hmm.
I've used the right channel to relay the information to them. And I believe I'm selecting the best audience or the best destination for my message. So I have that confidence of I have the stuff, I have the channel and all the resources.
Right.
So I'm building that confidence for me to have the entire community having that confidence in me. If they build that confidence, they are confident in my information flow, then I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
Then the sincerity approach is that one should not be dubious.
Right.
You have to be what you say.
Right.
That's right. If you say no, you mean no. If you say yes, you mean yes.
Right.
And this it is an attribute of so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes religious, sometimes community upbringing, sometimes societal orientation. And even the teachings you learn, because our university, like the Ahmadu Bello University, does not only train people how to read and write, but they impact manners, culture.
Manners, yes. Etiquette, culture.
Ethics, culture.
Ethics. Yeah, yeah,
a graduate has to combine the theoretical and the practical as well as the conduct.
He
has
to conduct.
That's right. Before he is given a certificate of the Ahmadu Bello University, wherever, whichever level he took it. So you see, this is something that transfers knowledge, skills, culture, and this into the society.
And it's also one of the functions of the family.
That's right.
And how did you learn, you know, what did your father teach you about how to be a responsible person and to take care of yourself so you didn't get overly stressed out?
That's right.
Or didn't work excessive hours or didn't work too little? Or how did you learn those skills?
Yes, you see, whenever I follow him, right when I started following him to the farm, if you noted that I was working so much on the farm, he will ask me to go and take rest. Then when the food is ready, they had been made ready to the farm, he will ask me to go and take my own, but remain under the shed so that I don't get exhausted.
Right.
So he was putting me through that, I don't hate the tradition, isn't it? So that I will not work excessively to even feel that I will not come back tomorrow.
Right.
You understand?
Or you wouldn't have to work so hard because you were worried.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good. That's why. That's one. Then also when it comes to other interactions between me and even his relatives, he always put to me that, okay, try and be on your own. Don't rely on anybody. Whatever you have, let it be your possession. Don't ask of anybody to give you anything. But whenever any of my relatives give you something, collect. Don't reject it.
Right.
But don't ever ask them to give you anything. Right. That's what he kept on telling me. So this one made me to feel, okay, however rich my father's relation is, I will not go and ask him anything. I will always try and maintain my own. And I had not seen him even going to them to help me with this. Well. But then the little he possesses, he disburses, he gives it out to some others who are lower in income than him.
Right. Right.
So it made me feel very courageous that I felt he was very rich.
You felt your father was very rich?
Yes, very rich. He wasn't, because he doesn't move out, move about asking people to please help me, help my children. I have this and that to partake. No, he didn't.
Right. And what you have so eloquently described is that when you live in a culture where you're expected to try and try and try,
yes,
and the assumption is people are watching you.
People will keep on watching
people
you. That's
watch
it, certainly.
You and they see you trying.
Yes.
And when they have something that will help you,
that's
they'll
right.
give it to you.
Certainly.
And you don't have to ask.
You don't have to ask. Yes.
But they are obligated by the ethic and the
yes.
culture
yes.
to give when they see a need
yes.
that the person can't meet
certainly.
On his or
yes.
her own.
Certainly.
That is a covenant relationship.
Good.
In terms of the kind of the Western spiritual tradition.
Okay.
We do for others what they cannot do for
they
themselves.
They do for you. That's right, yes.
But we don't do for them what they can do for themselves.
Good. That's
and
very good.
That's a very powerful.
So that is what I learned especially from him. I could remember there are only two from his father.
Uh-huh.
Himself and his younger brother, two males and three other or four females.
Right.
So the other one was a merchant. He trades different aspects of trades, and he was stinky rich. While he only confined himself to the little livestock, the few livestock he keeps in the house and his farm.
Right.
That one farms, he goes to the market. In fact, I even assist him sometimes in some of his market something. I used to be his cashier
in his store.
In the store, yes. But yet my father said, I should never take a kobo out of him if he didn't give me. That's
right.
one.
Right.
And then I should not ask him to even sew a shirt for me or buy a shirt for me. But right. if on his own he decided to give me anything, I should never reject it.
Right, right.
That's right. They are from the same father.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Now, the one of the things that I had to learn in myself was that when I would visit in people's homes or out where they were working, they would give me things, and I didn't necessarily want the food.
Yes,
but you never turn it down.
That's right.
Because if you turn that's it the down, culture. It that's is an insult.
Yes, it's an insult.
And you haven't taken what they perceive that you need.
And they may not accept you.
Right. And it shows that you don't accept them.
That's right.
And so in that kind of culture, you don't even have to use it.
You don't have
but
to.
But you have to accept but you collect can give it to somebody
You can
else.
Give it to somebody who needs it.
Yes.
Certainly.
Yes.
You see, this is a tradition, something we learned even from the first, even from the divine revelations.
Sure.
And certainly in extension, agricultural extension.
Yes, I would imagine.
This is very good for any extension practitioner to understand that he should never reject anything that comes from his clients, the farmers.
Right.
One day, just a few years back, we were on a swabi, extension swabi on grazing reserves in the country in Nigeria. So we went to a cattle Fulani district. You know, they reside in the forest, in the bush.
Right.
They don't have homes usually. Most of them who have large cattle, they don't live in the towns.
Right.
They live outside, outskirts. Were in the farm, could to their pasture and distance for water for their livestock. So they brought up some food. We ate before going to the to their locality. So when they brought a fried chicken and a few distilled rice, which under normal circumstances in our own country we will not take it because of the nature of the preparation, and then that does not look like our own food.
Right.
So one of them, a professor in pasture, just in grass something, wanted to reject it. I said, no, you should take it. The other one said, oh, yes, I understand. I agree with you. Then I said, okay, take it. Go and prepare to start doing the work before I come. I sat down with the Fulani people. Mm-hmm. Trying, showing them as if I was eating the food, whereas I was also not eating the food really, but they could not understand that I was not eating the food. So right. That keep them hospitable and lively that, yes, we have accepted them.
Right.
I took the chicken, held it in my distin, then trying to eat just a little of it. And then they were confident that, okay, yes, we were their guests.
Right. You were willing to be in community with them.
That's right. You have to identify with them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they will not give you any information you may require.
Right. And and if you don't honor them, they won't honor you.
They won't honor you. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It's part of the culture. When you honor people, they will honor you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Have you been able to pass that knowledge to your children?
The knowledge?
Yeah. Certainly. Of how to interact.
Yes. How to hold. Yes. I also narrated the same story to them like my father told them. Direct. They told me. Mm-hmm. I told them what transpired between me and him. They knew him very well.
Yeah.
Since they grew up also with him. Some of them grew up about some years with him. So he used to also play with them around him. And then I used to tell them that how he puts on and managed his affairs.
Yes.
He doesn't move to anybody's destiny. He doesn't inflict any trouble to anybody.
Right. Right.
That's why the community, he was a community leader. Many people rushed to him for advice, for assistance, for help, for whatever during his lifetime.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he wasn't rushing to others for advice.
No, he didn't.
Right. But he also did not condescend to them when they came, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Cool.
Good, yes.
Suleiman, it's been wonderful to get to know you.
You're welcome.
And I'm looking forward to some response from the listenership to this show. And this is available at madeofclay.org. It'll be online, and even you can have your friends in Nigeria listen
yes,
to it.
Yes, yes. Yeah, welcome, Mr. Eric. Yeah.
Yes. And we're going to close with Tamade. A house song.
Yes.
And do you want to say anything about it before we play it, or just play it?
Yeah, you can just play it because my people will be interested in it.
Okay.
Yes, and then I will share the.
I think I hit the button a little too soon, yes, and a little too loud. So yes, you were going to say,
you know, you amplified it during the first, just see.
Yes. So I'm sorry. And you, what were you going to say about your people listening to it?
Yes, my people may be interested in it, and also I will share it with the Ithaca community.
Yes. Okay. So here we go.
That's right.
Shamadi, 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 Shamadi,